on this episode of Still Loading, it's 2018 in review. Hello all, and welcome back for this final episode in the year 2018. That's right, it's the last episode prior to the new year. I don't know when you all will be listening to this, but it is going to be released about 2 days before the new year. So thank you all once again for listening. Thank you for tuning in, hitting the subscribe button, hitting the play button, just hanging out with me. So seriously, thank you. So as kind of a final episode this year, I wanted to talk about just my year in review, just talking about 2018 as a whole, talk about what I played this year, talk about the events, you know, maybe some life events, maybe just events within the podcast itself. And also just wanted to thank you guys. So to start off though, let's just talk about the year in review. It was a fantastic year. 2018, despite all the chaos in where I live in the U.S., but despite all the chaos in the U.S., has been a good year for me. I've been very happy. It's been a great year, and you know, I got married. The podcast joined a network. I got a lot more listeners. Well, a lot to me is like 5, but that's a lot, and I'm very thankful for you 5 new listeners and all the listeners. So, sincerely, thank you. But it's been a really good year, and I've had a lot of fun this year, not just with the wrapping up the 40 for 40 series, which has been a lot of fun, but the biggest problem now that I face is 40 for 40 series was easy because I knew my topics for 40 episodes in a row. I didn't have to plan a thing. Now I have to start planning stuff. I have to come up with new topics and new things to talk about. So I really have to plan ahead and look at what's going on. But I have some ideas. I do have some ideas, and I'm excited to share them with you all as the year goes along. So still, and as of this recording, I have no idea what my first episode of 2019 is going to be, but I'm excited to find out. I'm excited to look at it and or to figure it out and record it and just go from there. So, yeah. So let's talk about my year in gaming first. So, you know, this is a gaming podcast, right? So let's talk about my year in gaming. So at the start of the year, at the beginning of 2018, I had an idea that I really wanted to do, and I'm very thankful that I stuck to it. So my idea was I wanted to do a gaming journal. And what this gaming journal was is that I wrote a little, I don't want to say diary entry or journal, it's more of a journal entry, but more of just miniature reviews, I guess, for every game that I played and beat throughout the year of 2018. And to start off, I actually came up with a list of games that were goals of mine to beat this year. And it was a pretty extensive list. I knew I wasn't going to get to all of it, but in all honesty, I barely played any of them, and I played a lot of other games that were not originally on this list. So before we go into all the games that I beat, let's talk about the games on this list. So the first game was the original Yoshi's Island for the Super Nintendo, then New Yoshi's Island for the 3DS, Breath of Fire for the Super Nintendo, Lufia and the Fortress of Doom for the Super Nintendo, Sonic Mania, which I got on the Xbox One, but it's, you know, for PS4, Switch, all the new consoles, Ori and the Blind Forest for PC and Xbox One. I played it on Xbox One, though. Ni No Kuni for the PS3, Vagrant Story for the PS1, Parasite Eve for the PS1, Shovel Knight for the PS4, as well it's on other consoles, but that's what I have it for. Gravity Rush, which I have already beaten before. That's a PlayStation Vita game, but I kind of wanted to replay it because I have Gravity Rush 2 on the PS4, and I have not played that one yet, so it is definitely on my list still. Banjo-Kazooie for the N64, the original Metroid for the NES, Fire Emblem Awakening for the 3DS, and Final Fantasy Tactics for the original PlayStation. So that was my list of games to play in 2018. I only beat 3 of those games throughout the year, so I didn't really do too well at that, but I did beat about, like, I don't know what the total number is, but it's in between 15 and 20 games this year, which could have been more. I actually, because of the wedding and everything, there was about, I want to say, a 3-month gap of not playing games just between, because my wedding was in April, the honeymoon was shortly thereafter, and I was just getting back into the swing of things, and I was just doing the 40 for 40 series, just trying to, you know, get all those done in advance, so that way I wouldn't have to miss anything. That way I wouldn't have an episode being missed while I was away on my honeymoon and getting married and whatnot. So that took a little bit of time, but I did beat a good chunk of games. So let's look at the ones I did beat. So the first game I beat this last in the beginning of 2018 was Yoshi's Island, like once again for the Super Nintendo. I beat that on January 27th, actually. And Yoshi's Island was one of my, and these are all going to be mini reviews. I do want to do just as a short disclaimer, I will be doing full episodes on some of these. I don't believe I've done any episodes devoted to just any one of these, but so let's talk about it. So yeah, Yoshi's Island, I loved it. I usually say that about most games I play. I only play games I really like, but if I beat a game, I like it. If I don't like a game, I am not one of those people who is a glutton for punishment and will keep pushing myself to beat it even if I really don't like it. I would have to be paid to do it in order to play through a game that I really dislike or something like that, but not paid to do it. So this is all for fun. So I only am going to be beating games that I actually enjoy. But no, I played the original Yoshi's Island, and all the hype it got, like within the retro gaming community, is 100% deserved. Like, I had so much fun with this game. And I'm not good at platformers, 2D platformers specifically. I grew up on the 3D on 3D platformers, so 2D ones were always, like, while I enjoyed them, I loved their art style, and I loved playing them, I was awful at them, and it took me forever just to beat a simple Mario game. But hence, this is one of the first Mario games I've beaten. Literally, one of the first five that I've beaten. I literally have not beaten a lot. But Yoshi's Island was awesome. The art style is gorgeous. The music is so memorable and catchy. Though my only complaint with it is there's like five tracks, it feels like, that go on loop. They're all fantastic tracks that I continuously listen to. But for those who like the end music that I have, Game Chops has a whole a Yoshi like remix album, and it's all most of it is music from this game, and it's really, really good. It's one of my favorite remix albums of all time. It's really, really good. I've probably played a little bit of it on this episode, on the show before too, but anyway, so yeah, I beat Yoshi's Island, and then after that, I don't know if you can really count this as beating, but I played Stardew Valley for the first time, and it's hard to explain because it's one of those games where you can't really beat, but there is kind of an end portion of it. So the best way to explain it is Stardew Valley is basically like Harvest Moon. It's a slow life simulator. You play as a character, boy or girl, you create your own character, and you are given a farm by your grandfather who has recently passed away, and you are supposed to kind of take care of the farm and, you know, become a farmer and, you know, interact with the community within Stardew Valley around you. And that's pretty much the whole point of the game, is to kind of not only, you know, farm and take care of the farm and grow crops and, you know, upgrade your house and, you know, get animals and basically farm, but it's also to develop relationships within the community of the game. Obviously the NPCs, not actual players, but they did add a multiplayer update, which is kind of cool. It's simplistic, but I have not personally played it, but I really want to. And I love this game. So the way you kind of beat it is that you are, after 3 years, there's a judgment thing where your grandfather's spirit comes back and judges and grades you on how you've done over the course of those years. You know, how well have you interacted with the villagers? How well have you kept up with the farm? Like, how well is the farm doing? Are you making, have you made a good amount of money? Have you kind of progressed along? It's one of the most fun games I've ever played. And the other thing I loved about it is just how it's so relaxing. It is such a relaxing game that even my wife, who does not play video games, has fallen in love with this. I don't want to say fallen in love, but she plays it. And that is saying a lot. And I don't mean just like, okay, she plays it every now and then. She's logged over 40 hours in this game. And She doesn't play video games. Just throwing that out there. So if you've never played a Harvest Moon or Animal Crossing style game, I definitely suggest it, because being completely honest, I haven't, and I love this game. I don't want to talk too much more about it because I could keep on gushing about how much I loved about it. Now, I don't have a beat date for this because I didn't really feel right marking a date down when I got that 3-year grading thing. To me, that's the end of the game, but the game goes on forever. Like, there's no credits that roll. You just kind of keep playing. That's it. So the best you can kind of get is end of the 3-year and your grandfather grades how you do. The ghost of your spirit of your grandfather grades how you've done so far. And I guess I beat the game then, technically. But I wrote it because I've collectively, between when I played it back in February earlier this year, and I'm actually playing it again now. I've been playing it a lot over the month of December. I've logged probably over more than that. I probably logged over 90 hours in it. And I'm sorry, if you've logged 90 hours in a game because it does not really end, there's no credits you can reach, you've beaten the game in my book. But I digress. So after that, I actually took a long break from beating games. The one game I was playing but never got around to beating was Final Fantasy Tactics. I played a ton of that. And my friend Andrew, who was on, actually, I want to say the first episode of the 40 for 40 series, you know, back a while ago, he did the Abadox game. He helped me out with it because it's a little bit confusing it's a tactics-based RPG, you know, kind of like Advance Wars or something like that. And I definitely recommend it. It's a very good story. It's very Game of Thrones-ish in the story, or Song of Ice and Fire for those who read the books. And it's really good. It's really interesting. Once I finally beat it, I want to do a full episode on it, like I said, for all of these. So I'm not going to talk too much about it because I didn't beat it, but I logged like 30 some odd hours into it. So it's not for lack of trying. I just, wedding got in the way, and now I haven't felt the urge to go back and play it. But in any case, and so like I said, I didn't beat a lot of games between pretty much Stardew and this next one I'm about to read. On June 3rd in 2018, I beat Super Mario 64 for the first time. And holy shit, did I love this game. Oh my god, like, I finally get why people like this game so much. Because I remember for a while, I was like, I get it, it's one of the first 3D platformers, and it's, you know, really groundbreaking in how it, like, you know, not just level design, but also graphics and music and not really story necessarily. It's kind of the same narrative as all the other Mario games, but it was fun. I played so much of that game, and I loved so much of it. In fact, that after I beat it, I went to the convention Too Many Games, and I got the voice actor of Mario, Charles Martinet, to sign my cartridge of Super Mario 64. And it's personalized, so I guess technically it's not worth as much as it could have been if I didn't have it personalized, but this is my personal collection, so I really wanted to have it for myself. And it's literally on top of one of my old CRT TVs, just looking right at me, and it makes me happy every time I see it that I got to meet the voice of Mario. And he was such a sweet guy. Charles Martinet is one of the sweetest men you'll ever meet. He is so nice to all of his fans, and he definitely, even though like his handler was a little, how can I describe it? His handler was a little rude, and I guess she kind of had to be because she has to move things along, and he is kind of an old guy, so she doesn't want to like overwhelm him, but he did so much for his fans there. It was great. He's such a nice guy. But no, so I beat Super Mario 64 for the first time, and that was an absolutely amazing game. I definitely suggest it. Then I beat, within the same month, on June 20th, I beat the original Banjo-Kazooie for the N64. After finishing Super Mario 64, I was still in that 3D platformer kick, and I still kind of wanted that retro vibe, so I went with Banjo-Kazooie, and holy shit, I loved it too. It was so good. I'm going to try to find other adjectives than saying I loved it, but I'll work on that as I go along, as we continue recording, or as I just continue, you know, I don't write any of these scripts. I don't usually script any of this. You can tell when I do script stuff too, so, but this is definitely not one of them. It's a fantastic game. The controls are even better than Super Mario 64. The storyline's a little bit more interesting, I would say, but still nothing, you know, too amazing. But what really blew me out of the water was just like all the different things you can do in the game. There's so much you can explore. All the worlds are so imaginative. And my personal favorite is just the interaction. My personal favorite thing, excuse me, about the game is the interaction between Banjo and Kazooie. And for those who don't know, Banjo and Kazooie are as a bear and a bird. Banjo is the bear and Kazooie is the bird. And they have an interesting dynamic because Kazooie's kind of like a smart ass and Banjo's just this lovable dolt. And they each do different things. So Banjo is kind of like, you know, he's definitely not the brains of the operation, but he kind of just runs around and Kazooie hides in his backpack. And as you gain abilities, you can do different things with Kazooie, like fly for a short amount of time. You can hover for a short amount of time before you can fly, shoot eggs out of Kazooie's mouth, which always seemed kind of weird to me. And I'm pretty sure out of his ass, but I don't remember. It was very strange, but I loved the game. Definitely worth playing. And what kind of sticks out to me is I was really into the YouTube channel The Game Chasers when I was playing this game. So I would be playing I'd be playing Banjo-Kazooie and have The Game Chasers on in the background on my computer. And it was just such a nice time. Such a real, I don't know. Nostalgia gets me so hard, man. It is. Wait, never mind. That was the worst sentence I've ever said in my life. Let me rephrase that. Nostalgia hits me very hard. It doesn't get me very hard. I mean, you never know. I guess it could do that too. But it hits me really hard, man. So even though it was just something 6 months ago, it still makes me really happy. Not quite that happy, but still very happy. Sorry. All right, so within the same month, once again, this is all within June. I beat two games so far in June, Super Mario 64 and Banjo. I beat the original Super Mario Brothers. No, I'm sorry, not the original Super Mario Brothers. Super Mario Brothers 3 on June 29th, right before the end of the month. And now, to be fair, I beat the game with the warps, the warp whistles. For those who don't know, you can get whistles in Super Mario 3, and they will warp you to farther stages of the game, so that way you can just kind of do quick travel. And I didn't have much to write about this one. A lot of the games so far, I kept trying to write at least like a page and a half. Yoshi's Island, I wrote two full pages. Stardew Valley, I wrote a page and three quarters-ish or two-thirds. Super Mario 64 was over two pages. Banjo-Kazooie was well over two pages. But Super Mario Bros. 3, I only really wrote a page because there's been so much said about the game already. I mean, I did a full episode on this one. Oh my god, I did do an episode on one of these. I completely forgot. I didn't do an episode on any of the games on my original list, now that I think about it. As you can see, so far, the only game that was on my original list, the only games that I've beaten on the original list so far are Banjo-Kazooie and Yoshi's Island. There's only one more that I've beaten, though. It was a great game though. I really want to play through it all the way without the warp whistles, but that's a lot more of a time sink. And I don't know if I have the time right now, but I beat this actually at a friend's house. We were every now and then a group of friends and I get together and we just have a retro game night. We just bring over a bunch of retro consoles and we hang out and just play retro games a lot, not even all multiplayer. Sometimes it's just single player that we pass off the controls and, you know, level after level, we just keep passing it off, or death after death type of thing. My friend actually was playing Secret of Mana at this one, my copy of Secret of Mana, and he was loving it. Never got around to beating it, but he played a lot of it until he got fed up with it. But no, so I beat Super Mario 3 at his house. And we still do these game nights every now and then. So if you guys have friends who are into this type of thing, I definitely suggest, you know, picking, especially as an adult, it's hard to do it all frequently, but we meet once a month and just hang out for a couple hours, usually on a Friday night to like 1 a.m. and we just game, get some pizzas, get some beers, for me a soda, cause I'm not a big drinker. But you get me a mixed drink, I'm down. Rum and Coke, I'm all about that. Anyway, that's nothing to do with this, but it's a lot of fun, so I definitely recommend it. So after I beat that, moved on, and I beat Ori and the Blind Forest. Now that I'm looking at how long I've been recording already, I hope this isn't too boring. So I'm going to try to, like, not speed through, but just kind of, like, abbreviate all my notes on this, because Ori was actually one of the most important games to me this entire year. I would actually say, out of all the games that I beat this year, it is, I want to say, yeah, I'm just going to say it. It was probably my favorite one that I beat this year. Ori and the Blind Forest surprised me so much, just because it was probably my favorite game that I played this year. Not my favorite game of the year, because there's, you know, a lot of games that came out this year and I barely played any of them. But because I'm so focused on my retro stuff. But Ori and the Blind Forest, it's an indie title that came out, I want to say, in 2015. And if you have not played it, it is an amazing Metroidvania, beautiful art style. And seriously, the first 10 minutes of that game will fuck with your emotions. It is like the first 10 minutes of Up. It makes you bawl your eyes out in the first 10 minutes. And then rebuilds you as the game goes along. Kind of, you know what, just thinking about it, I'm going to hold it. I have an observation that I really like. I'm going to write it down after I finish recording, because when I do my Ori and the Blind... Oh, wait, no, I didn't. Wait. Oh, my God, I'm an idiot. I already did an Ori and the Blind Forest episode. I don't remember half the shit that I do. I'm sorry about that all. I've been saying I didn't do an episode on any of these. I did an episode on Ori and the Blind Forest. My observation that I just kind of thought of now was that it's interesting, because in the whole thing of Metroidvania, you start out with Metroidvania as the genre. You start out, your character, whoever you're playing as, starts out as someone with very little and has to play through to kind of build themselves up in order to face the final challenge. The narrative of Ori and the Blind Forest did that, because in the first 10 minutes, it destroys you. And the game has to slowly build up your emotions again to this emotional finish, this emotional end, just like the mechanics of the game do. So it's kind of cool how the game mechanics and the game story coincide in that way. I've never really thought about that till just now, but that's really cool. I definitely, yeah. Go play Ori and the Blind Forest. It's fucking amazing. So yeah, Ori and the Blind Forest, I beat that on July 4th, if I didn't say that before, the 4th of July. Then I beat... Oh, so I know exactly where I was when I beat the next couple games. So, the next game I beat was New Super Mario Bros., the one for the original DS. I beat New Super Mario Bros., and once again, great game. Not going to really talk too much about it, but I guess to kind of talk about where I was at... for those who follow me on Instagram, I was on a missions trip that week. The very start of this, on July 7th, we were traveling to Mexico on a missions trip to work down there. For those who are interested in more about what it was or where I was at, feel free to reach out to me, but I don't really want to, because it is with a religious organization, so I don't really want to get all preachy or anything like that. So it was, but it was a good time. So I beat New Super Mario Brothers on the car ride. We drove to an airport and then flew to Texas and then drove across the border. So I want to say it was on the airplane on the way over. So beat New Super Mario Brothers on the way down there, and it was a great time. And when I was down there, I brought other games with me. And I played another game, Super Princess Peach, also for the original DS. This game I will talk a little bit about, because Super Princess Peach was one of Nintendo's first forays, I guess. Nah, I shouldn't say one of their first forays, but kind of one of their rare forays into actually kind of having a more girl-centered game. The whole idea is it's a platformer based around Peach. And it was a really good game. I loved it. I beat that actually on the way back, literally the last day on the way home. While I played it all while I was out there over the course of the week, I beat it literally on the plane ride home. So I beat two games over the course of that missions trip. And it was pretty fantastic. It was weird because the game is very good and it's so bizarrely sexist and yet not sexist all at the same time. I know it's kind of, maybe a guy isn't the best way to determine what is sexist towards women, but from my point of view, I thought it was kind of weird because it's a game, you know, focusing on Peach, the main character. All right, so she's no longer the damsel in distress. She's actually rescuing Mario. That is the plot and premise of the game. The problem is that all of her powers are based around her emotions. She has anger, sadness, happiness and joy, which is, it was interesting. I know, I understand that they're two different things, but it was interesting that they chose those two. So happiness, just kind of, or joy heals her. Anger puts a thing of fire around her and she just goes like freaking crazy. Happiness kind of creates a whirlwind thing and she kind of floats up into the air and you can use that to kind of get to hard, like fly up to hard to reach places. And then sadness just literally causes tears to sprout out of her eyes and you can use the tears to water different plants so it can get you to different areas. It was very strange. If I have any female listeners, I'd really love to hear your opinion on Super Princess Peach, because once again, I don't know how much a guy can really be commenting on sexism. Like, and I don't mean that just as like a woke type of thing, but in all honesty, like I don't have those experiences. I can't speak for that. So, I'd love to get some opinions on that. See what you all think. So if anyone's listening, seriously, reach out to me. StillLoadingContact@gmail.com, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter @StillLoadingPod on any of them. I'd love to get some feedback on that. What you think of it. But any case, so moving on. I beat Super Princess Peach on July 14th. Then I beat The Little Mermaid for the NES on July 22nd. The whole reason I even beat this game is because Casey, who joined me for all the Mario episodes, I watched him beat it. And it's like a 20-minute game on the NES. It's absurdly easy, but kind of fun. So you obviously play as Ariel, and you have to defeat Ursula as the final boss. Not too original with how it's a pretty decent like port of a movie to a game. It's a pretty decent licensed game is what I'm trying to say. The mechanics are solid. It's one of those Capcom NES, like Disney licensed games. So, you know, it's going to be at least okay. And yeah, that's about all I have to say about it. I don't know if I'll ever do a full episode on it, kind of like the 40 for 40 series, especially because I did so much retro stuff, but, we're sticking with the retro theme. The next game I beat was on August 3rd, and that was the original Contra for the NES. And to clarify, for those who have never played Contra, it's a shooter. It's a run and gun shooter, kind of platforming shooter, you know, side scrolling. I don't even know the characters' names. They're clearly like an Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone ripoff because it took place in the 80s, or it was made in the 80s, excuse me. And I guess technically took place in the 80s. But you just run to the right and you shoot your gun and you get different power-ups and it's a shmup. It's a bullet hell side-scrolling game. It's a lot of fun though. But as a disclaimer, I did use the Konami code to get the 30 lives and I was playing with a friend. That definitely helped. But some people have told me it's easier solo. For those who have a lot more experience with this, also, once again, write me in. What do you think? Is it easier with co-op with the Konami code, or is it easier solo with the Konami code? Or is it just, which way is the easiest for you to play? Let's leave it at that. Instead of me listing all these different possibilities of adding the Konami code or having single or multiplayer, two-player, what is the easiest way for you to beat Konami, to be, not Konami, that's the company, to beat Contra? So yeah, it's a great game though. It was a lot of fun. So then I finally went back into a more modern thing. I was playing so many retro games, I was like, man, I need to kind of get back into more modern game stuff. So I played Doom, the 2016 version, not Doom from 93 on the PC, but the reboot of Doom from 2016. I beat that on August 17th. And holy shit, that was an awesome game. So violent, though. So much blood. So much blood and guts. It was everywhere, but it was a gorgeous game. The gameplay was so fast and frenetic. I loved it. It was so chaotic. And it took me a little bit to get used to that, because I just played... Contra's kind of similar to that, I guess. But I was just so used to the simplicity of NES games and, like, old-school games that it was weird for me to adjust to an FPS and have to deal with all the chaos that goes along with those games. But it was an awesome game. I definitely suggest trying it. Continuing with my more modern-day feel, I played the newest Spider-Man game, Spider-Man 2018, developed by Insomniac. I beat that on September 18th of this year, so just a couple months ago now. We're finally getting into the last like stretch of the year, and oh my god, like, once again, how Ori got you right in the feels in this first 10 minutes, this game gets you in the feels in the last like 30 minutes. Like, go play this game. Oh my god, I can't believe it's almost like it's almost 30 minutes in. I'm just going to kind of list the last couple because I don't even know if any of this was interesting to you guys. Give me some feedback. If this was not interesting, then I'll find a different way to do a year. I still want to do these year review things, and I like this gaming journal idea. But if this isn't interesting, once again, I'm asking for a lot of feedback from everyone. But give me some feedback. Let me know what you think. But no, so Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I beat Shadow of the Tomb Raider, the newest Tomb Raider game. I beat that on October 7th. Once again, I've been actually a huge fan of the new series, or the rebooted series, and this was no exception. Not quite as good as some of the others, but I liked it. I went back then, and I beat Super Metroid for the Super Nintendo on October 17th. And let me just say, that game lives up to its hype, not going to lie. I was still in a Metroidvania mood, though, after playing Super Metroid, and I played Axiom Verge, and I beat that on October 25th. And then I took about a month off, and the last game I beat was Earthbound. And Earthbound, for those who don't know, is a rare Super Nintendo RPG. Well, it's not actually rare, but it's worth a shitload of money, and I paid more than I probably wanted to. But I saved up for it, and I was able to get it at a convention, and it was worth it. I'm not going to say it lives up to the hype, but it's definitely, I understand why it's so beloved, if that makes sense. And I definitely suggest giving it a shot. But that's all I'm going to say on that. So that was my year in gaming. That was my every game that I beat over the course of the year. And now I'm currently playing through Stardew Valley again. Well, not really playing through, but my wife and I actually got into it again. And we've been playing it for the last month or so. And it's been just an amazing time. Love that game to pieces. Like I said before, I do want to do a full episode on it at some point. We'll see. So I guess I was kind of wrong. I did do a couple episodes on games that I've beaten, you know, Super Mario 3. I did one on, Ori and the Blind Forest. And so, yeah, it was a good year. Like I said, I beat a lot of games. I forget what the final count was. I'll kind of keep talking while I count these out. But no, it was a really good year this year. So I actually beat... Okay, so I actually just finished counting, and it was 15 games. If you don't count Stardew, it was 14. So it wasn't quite as much as I thought originally. But no, so this year, the podcast grew by leaps and bounds. And I can honestly say that would not be happening without all of you who are listening. So sincerely, thank you. This year has been absolutely phenomenal. I joined the Podbeard Network, and I'm very happy with my decision so far, and I'm very happy with the network, and I'm happy that I got to meet some amazing people through it. TJ, I know you'll listen to this eventually, but sincerely, thank you, man, for asking me to join the network. It's been a ton of fun so far. I'm looking forward to hopefully collabing with you some more often, either, you know, going on your show, you coming on my show, you know, whatever works out. But it's been a seriously tremendous year, and I've had an immense amount of fun doing everything with it. There's some ideas that I have coming up in the future. I don't know how many are going to pan out, but I have ideas, and they're coming down the pipeline, and I'm looking forward to making more of these episodes for you all. So sincerely, that's a word. Actually, is it? No, it's not. That came from... came from somewhere else. Anyway, I digress. But it's been a great year. So a sincere thank you to all of you. It's been an honor to actually feel kind of like I'm actually getting somewhere on this. Like, I've started gaining listeners, and it's been awesome. And thank you for everyone who keeps tuning back to my, what I don't always think is monotone reading, but when I listen back to it, it's kind of monotone. But it's been a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to everything that's to come. If you like what you hear, please give a rate and review on iTunes. It really helps the show out. It helps people find the show, helps more people discover it and whatnot. And it lets me know what you're thinking. It lets me know what everyone likes and dislikes about it. You can, I guess now is the time for some, social media links. You can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. I know I mentioned all those before. You can contact me at StillLoadingContact@gmail.com. Also, I get some shout outs real quick. The whole Podbeard Network, Two Guys in a Game, The Hotter Show, Mikes and Beers, Creeper Sleep, though I know you haven't really posted too much recently, Boy Stick on YouTube, Dark Runner Gaming on Twitch, Lazy Show on YouTube, Super happy to be part of the network, and I'm excited for everything that we're going to be doing in as the year goes along. Also, shout outs to some of my favorite podcasts, friends of the show and whatnot. Erica at the Apex and the Abyss, fantastic podcast if you like true crime shows. I know I shout it out every week, but she's been one of my best podcasting friends over the last year. We bonded over the fact that we both listen to podcasts and have become pretty good friends over it. So, Erica, thank you for all the support you've given me over the last year. Also, want to thank the geeks at No Geeks Allowed. That's KNOW, No Geeks Allowed, Brian and James. You guys have also been amazing supporters this year. So, sincerely, thank you for just coming on the show and inviting me onto your show and letting me use the audio for the Mario Brothers movie for like a little bonus episode of mine. So, it's been a tremendous year, so thank you for that. Other podcasts that have also just, you know, like tweeted out stuff to me or like retweeted stuff on social media and just and shared stuff on social media. The Drinks with Larry crew, you guys are awesome. I've actually still way behind on your show, but I have been starting to dive back into it and still loving it. I'm going to be literally downloading a bunch of them right after I finish recording this so I can binge them all tomorrow at work. So if you guys like funny content, go check out Drinks with Larry. Also don't forget, Christian and Damon's Amazing Nerd Show. They've been supporters of mine on social media. So thank you guys. Trying to think, I know I'm missing people right now because I'm an awful person and I can't seem to remember. Actually a shout out to the Untrained Eye podcast. I've not listened to it yet, but they have been very nice to me on social media. So guys, girls, I don't even know who's on the show. If you're listening, thank you for all the social media love. It's very nice of you. And I promise you, I will listen to an episode. I promise you it's going to happen. There's just too many podcasts in my feed to listen to. And, I guess some last minute shout outs for podcasts I've been really digging. The Frame Savers, a video game speedrunning podcast. I know I've shouted all these podcasts out before, but I want to give them some love, you know, end of the year and whatnot. So the Frame Savers, amazing speedrunning, video game speedrunning podcast. Super Mercado Bros, they've never retweeted any of my stuff, but still, if you guys are into video game music and music theory, listen to their podcast. It's really well informed, and they're the two hosts, Carl and Will, they're brothers, very well educated. They are musicians themselves, so they know what they're talking about, unlike me, who is not a musician and don't know what I'm talking about. Also want to give a shout out to the Singing Mountain podcast, another video game music podcast. Fantastic video game music podcast, got me into this whole like video game music podcast kind of genre. So, and I guess not a podcast, I've so many shout outs, I need to start just like narrowing this down. Last one, shout out to Robot Prince, who was my guest for last week. He's an awesome guy, Philip. He's so nice and I love his music, and I'm really hoping he comes back on at some point because I'd love to talk to him more about, it doesn't have to be music, it could be anything. So that should be it. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for joining me throughout the year of 2018 in this podcasting adventure I've been going on, and look for more content in the coming years. And with that all said, I will see you all next time.